On today's episode of Cox Talking Gamecocks, I'll review and recap the Gamecocks' most recent victory over Troy, go over the results of my six-pack of picks, and look ahead to this week ahead. All right, here we go. Welcome to episode 8 of Cox Talking Gamecocks. I am your host, Tim Cox, where I will keep every episode between 1801 to 2001. And let's just start things off with, how about those Gamecocks, baby? Let's go! Gotta love when you're looking for a win on a Saturday afternoon and you found one by Saturday night. Just take a moment. Appreciate us being 3-2. It's a winning record, right? We are above 500, we have eclipsed the win total from last year, and it's only 5 games into this season. And I mean, yeah, that game may not have been pretty at times, but hey, this team showed a hell of a lot of fight. And every year, you know, you have these games that you're supposed to win, right? Good football teams will always handle those teams and win, and we did that yesterday. So it's showing that this coaching staff, Shane Beamer, they're taking each opponent seriously, not playing down to anyone, not overlooking anyone, and that is key when you're trying to build consistency within any program at any level, really. And as I said before, all of our goals are right ahead of us. Everything is still very attainable. These next 2 games are ones we can certainly take. And hell, I mean, Missouri showed that they were very vulnerable on Saturday. But we still need to improve week over week, of course. But as we sit now, we have a lot of opportunity ahead of us. And I think we should all be excited for the potential and all of the opportunity that lies ahead for this football team. So with all that being said, let me share my overall thoughts on the game, and then as I like to do, I'll dive into each side of the ball and explain what I did and did not like. But overall, I'm still shaking my head, man. Just way too many penalties. I mean, my God, what the hell's going on? The offense, they had several that were just brutal. Couple holdings, a false start, and it just any time you have offensive line with those troubles or just any side with those troubles, really, it just kills the momentum. And it certainly felt that way a couple of drives in particular on Saturday. And then RJ Roderick, man, I mean, he had that bad targeting call. I mean, targeting, the whole thing with targeting about getting kicked out of the game immediately and then having that suspension bleed over to the next game, that is just the craziest rule. I mean, I know that it's been coming to a head a little bit more. At College Game, they had a whole section about it. I think that it should be a 2-strike rule. I think your first one should be the 15 yards, and then if you do it again in that same game, then you can get ejected for that game only. To have something bleed over into a next game is just insane to me. It has nothing to do with that game, but whatever. It was a little questionable of a call. It was borderline. I think he did hit him in the head, but regardless, it's a lack of discipline. Lack of discipline, there's examples on both sides, right? And this has been an issue this season. Beamer addressed it a couple weeks ago. It came up in a press conference, but something needs to be done, right? We cannot keep shooting ourselves in the foot like this. But I did want to talk about something else that I literally had deja vu. It felt like a glitch in the Matrix during this game. It was in the first quarter. Carolina was on the Troy 34. I actually took notes in this. I notes apped it. Because I could not believe what I was watching. 4th and 4, and Beamer went for it. Now, Joyner had the ball hit his hands. He dropped it. So we could have converted it, but we did not. And Troy took over on their 34 and ended up scoring. That was almost an identical scenario to what happened in the Kentucky game, which I was screaming about during that game. I screamed on it on the podcast, and I'm screaming about it now, because how do you not kick there? Why do you not kick there? Right? I mean, Parker has shown he has the leg. And if you have as good of an asset on your team as he is, you should use it. Especially Beamer prioritizes special teams play. I mean, I just don't understand. I know he's a young coach, right? He wants to be aggressive. Being aggressive in football is becoming more and more common, and he's still trying to figure out what to do in some of these situations. But to me, it was just crazy that it was like an identical setup of like damn near where the spot was, the same yardage, fourth, like not fourth and one, not fourth and two, it was fourth and four, and he made the same call, and both times it ended up in points for the other team. So like, I'm cool with you being aggressive, but if you're in field goal range, like that was early in the game, you weren't playing from behind, I say you take the points there. So that's just me. But with that being said, those were the two big takeaways I had. Let me jump in to what I liked and what I didn't like from each side of the ball. So as I always do, starting off with the defense, what I didn't like that it looked like we had a hard time stopping the run. That showed a little bit last week against Kentucky as well. But it was clear that Troy was able to run on us, and we even gave up that long run for a touchdown. I think it was like 30-something yards. And I know that the loss of Sherrod Green hurts, but like, you can't let that define you guys, right? I mean, I know we were thin at the linebacker as is, but you got to figure out ways to slow down the run. You got to get creative, right? The loss of Sherrod Green cannot just mean our run stopping ability is done, right? And you just absolutely hated to see Jamar Brown celebrate that scoop and score too early and just give the ball right back to Troy. That was just absolutely brutal. I'm just really, really not looking forward to seeing that in the next top 10 and every come on, man. And you had one job. It's just going to be another fucking highlight that we have to live with. Who was it that hurdled us on Alabama in 2019? I think it was Najee Harris hurdled someone on South Carolina, and I think it was on his draft highlight. Just literally cannot live that down. Oh, and the fucking clipboard play with Lane Kiffin got shown 1,000 times where he threw the clipboard in the air playing against us. It just feels like we're just a walking highlight reel for some of these situations, and I'm tired of it. Jeez. All my teams are like that, though. At every level. But going back to Gamecock football after that tangent, that self-pity tangent, the Jamar Brown thing, I mean, that just kind of circles back to team discipline as well. So got to find a way to clean all that up. But what I did like about the defense, turnover season. It was a turnover parade. We're eating turnovers. We're cooking them up in the kitchen. Apple turnover, peach turnover, whatever you like. It's just awesome. Like, each game, we have had a pick. Obviously, we took one to the house on Saturday, but it's even more than that. I think we got like 8 or 9 picks on the year. There was a couple of fumbles, too. Speaking of fumbles, is there anything that Jalen Foster can't do? I mean, he forced 2 fumbles. He made some other big plays. The kid is just playing out of his mind right now. Such a great surprise. Outside of that, I felt that the tackling was overall good, right? That was one of my crows to the game on Friday. And look, you held Troy to only 14 points and 0 in the fourth, which anytime you can do that as a defense, you should have your team in a position to win. And you really just can't say enough good things about the defense, honestly. I mean, they have performed so well to this point. The Clayton White hire, it just looks like it's the best one Beamer has made. I remember when he was hired, I think he came from Western Kentucky. People were like, who is this guy? You know, people wanted Derek Mason, but this has turned out to be really, really well. So the defense, another lights out performance. They are just really, really balling. So over to the offense, what I didn't like. So going to look at the end of the game here. We were in the red zone with only a couple of minutes left. I thought Satterfield, he was rather conservative. I was initially okay with that, but looking back on it, I think that's a time where I would have liked to be a little bit more aggressive, maybe try to find that end zone instead of settling for 3 points. And although we did have a couple of nice rushes here and there, it didn't feel like we established the rushing attack, which he emphasized he wanted to do. I mean, we ended with only 102 rushing yards total, and 2 of those were Josh Van jet sweeps. So you never really got traditional runs established and going. And it just almost feels like Satterfield, he's too concerned with rotating the different running backs. And in my opinion, he's not letting one get into a rhythm. And in my mind, Kevin Harris needs to be the true number one. Like, undisputed, he's proven, he's really great, he works hard, falls forward. Juju McDowell is a great compliment to him. That should be your number one and your number two. Allow Marshawn Lloyd to get in there and find his explosiveness, because to me, it doesn't look like he's truly all the way back. So you got to let him find that, but you can't be worried about making sure everyone's getting their touches, because it's limiting these guys' ability to get into a rhythm, in my opinion. Oh, and then there's Zaquandre White, too, so you got to mix him in. I understand there's a challenge, but you got to let someone get going, and I think Kevin is the guy to do that. He's shown you he can do it time and time again. And then I also would have liked to see the offense find the end zone more. You know, I said they needed to do that multiple times to prove it to themselves. They did it once. I would have liked to see it again. I mean, luckily, we do have Parker White, because it felt like we had some nice drives that just stalled out and we weren't able to cash in. But luckily, he is there to help us get some points on the board. Now, what I did like about the offense, letting Luke cook, man, letting him cook, throwing it all over the place. I really honestly found it funny that after all Satterfield said about trying to establish the run, he comes out of the gate in that first drive and is just slinging it, just gunslinging it. That first drive looked great. It was really cool to see us get a little bit of a rhythm early and get some points, right? That was one that stalled out, but it was great to open up with points regardless. I think at one point it was something like a 10-2 pass to run ratio to start off the game. It was just, I thought it was so funny that I thought we were just going to be ground and pound, find a way to get it done. And he's like, nah, fuck it. Just going to sling it. But it was also nice in that drive. You saw a lot of designed rollouts. This is throughout the game too. More designed rollouts to take advantages of Luke's mobility. I thought Luke looked like he was moving a little better than we had seen. A couple of times though, you could see he didn't want to turn it up. It's clear the foot is still bugging him, but I thought he looked better, and it was nice to see them design plays around his mobility. And he did a good job of distributing passes, too. I mean, you look at the breakdown, all different guys had catches, right? It was like two here, three there. It was really nice to see. And speaking of throws, how about his touchdown pass to E.J. Jenkins? Leroy Jenkins. Yeah, who remembers that video? Leroy Jenkins. But it was really cool to see. A lot of people, including myself, have wanted EJ to get involved. It was awesome to see. That was a nice play design too. You had everyone going to that one side of the field, guys crossing, and Luke had a nice throw. I mean, he put it over a linebacker. EJ was right there, and it was a nice little catch and run. EJ's kind of like, he's kind of like Kelvin Benjamin light, right? He's got the dreads. He's got a bigger build. Kelvin Benjamin light, but that's my guy. And it was also nice to see Amarion Brown get involved too. I mean, hopefully we can see him have more and more of a role, because he has shown at his last stop, Georgia Tech, that he can produce at the Power 5 level before he transferred here. I thought he was going to be more involved in the offense from the jump, but it was nice to see him. I think he had two catches. They were earlier in the game, but it's nice to see him getting involved more. Hopefully we can see more of that, because if you have Van and Brown cooking, that's a nice 1-2 punch. Brooks has had some nice catches too. Jaheim Bell, he had a huge conversion there. I think it was second and 20 or something like that. It was a huge catch. And then, of course, DK is there. It's just tough, man. I mean, I love DK as much as the next, but he has just not produced quite like we would have hoped to have seen. He's had a couple of drops this year. I hope he can get it turned around. But I did just want to shout out Parker White again. I know I've mentioned him a couple of times, but he is really steady as they come. He's reliable, and he's a big reason why we won that game. I mean, defense played lights out. Obviously, they put points on the board, but without Parker White and just knowing that you can have a drive, get into field goal range, and confidently kick it, without that, this could be a much different story. So shout out to Parker White. It really is so cool to see. But, I mean, overall for the game, I'm pleased, man. I am pleased. It wasn't the easiest of games. It wasn't the prettiest. And yes, an argument, of course, can be made that we should have won by more. And this should have been much easier. Shouldn't have been so close. But listen, a win is a win is a win. It was good to see the offense get points every quarter and put together some nice, sustained drives. Hopefully, we can build off of that and capitalize more, find those end zones, because that's going to be critical as we head back into SEC play and a very critical stretch for the Gamecocks. But on the defense, too, it's just so fun to watch these guys. I mean, they have to keep playing at a high level, keep balling out. Hopefully, we can tighten things up as far as stopping the run goes, because I think it's clear that we are going to have to rely on the defense to keep us in games. But overall, I'm happy. I love having a winning record. It's just such a great feeling when the Gamecocks get it done. It's just celebration. It's relief. It's everything. And it was a fun game. I know it was stressful. It shouldn't have been as close as it was. I get that. There were some bonehead moments, but it was a fun game. You know, we had a couple big conversions. It was nice to see. It was energetic. It wasn't a complete snooze fest. So I'm really happy with the win. So now we're going to change gears a little bit. I'm going to review my 6-pack of picks, look for the week ahead, and then we'll wrap this bad boy up. So 6-pack of picks, hey, 3-3. So not half bad. And that's actually what we did last week too, minus the bonus pick. So we are riding a 500. We're playing 500 ball here, not losing any money. So hey, I'll take that as a W. We'll review these games real quick. ACC, Louisville at Wake Forest. I had Wake -7. That was a loss. Big Ten, Western Kentucky at Michigan State. I had Sparty -10.5. That was a W. Baylor at Oklahoma State. That went under. I had the over at 47.5. That's the second time OK State has screwed me over in the 6-pack. That's the second time they've been on the losing side of it. Maybe my pokes are just not they're just not scoring as much. It's kind of weird. They've always been a gunslinging, high-scoring team. They're just not doing that this year. Who knows? Pac-12, Southern Cal, -7.5 at Colorado. That was a win. If you're looking for money, you don't care about who you distribute it to, bet against Colorado. That team, I think they just stink. Stink fest. SEC, the game of the day, UConn at Vanderbilt. I had the under 51. That went over. Again, that was like, which side of the ball of those teams do you think is going to stink less? I got on the wrong side of it, but speaking of the SEC, man, holy shit. Georgia is pretty damn good, aren't they? I mean, it makes our loss against them. I feel much better about that after yesterday than I do now, right? Like, seeing what they did to Arkansas, like, we hung with them as best as anybody else has. And we actually scored on these guys. So we should take solace in that. I think it was a less ugly loss than we might have originally thought. Group of five game. UL Monroe at Coastal. Coastal was 34.5-point favorites. They covered. That's a win. Coastal, they are a cover wagon, a cover machine. Hopefully, I can take this momentum, just like the Gamecocks. Let's take the momentum. I'm feeling a hot week on Saturday. 4-2 or better. Let's go. But looking ahead to this week, it's all about preparation for Tennessee. I fucking hate Tennessee. I'm going to get into this on my preview show. I hate Tennessee. Like, I hate Clemson. I despise Georgia. But there is something about Tennessee that I just despise. Maybe because when I was there, they had that ridiculous catch that put our hopes and dreams of heading to Atlanta to a grinding halt. But there's just something about it. Maybe because I just associate college football and orange with bad because of Clemson. And their orange is just disgusting. Ugh. Anyway. South Carolina, we open as a 12-point underdog. That honestly kind of feels a little high to me, considering how up and down UT has been to this point. But, I mean, they just beat down. They put a beat down on Mizzou. So maybe that had something to do with it. But I do hope the team addresses these penalties, because going into Knoxville, that's a hard enough place to play. It's a hard enough place to win. We cannot afford to beat ourselves like that. If we have the penalties that we had against Troy, that's going to be tough sledding against Tennessee. And of course, I want to hear that the offense is practicing well, they're improving, and I hope we don't have to talk about Luke's foot anymore, but I hope he feels better. But with that wraps up today's episode, y'all. Let's enjoy this winning feeling. I mean, really, let's appreciate owning this winning record, because that has been hard to find in Colombia these last couple of years. Don't forget to follow me on Twitter and Instagram. It's Cox Gamecocks on Twitter. Instagram is just the name of the show, Cox Talking Gamecocks. And if you don't mind, throw me a subscribe. Subscribe to the podcast. All right. Go, Cox.